Diary. Labors in Brisbane and Rockhampton. 1898. First two pages missing. I will write a few lines more. When I see those who assemble at our camp meetings, drawn upon so strongly as were those from Rockhampton and Brisbane, men who are able to earn for a family of 9 or 10 children only a mere pittance, 5 shillings per day, can we be surprised that at times these souls are tempted? When they live upon the coarsest fare, while those who are in altogether more favorable circumstances scarcely know what it means to deny self and take up the cross and follow our Lord whithersoever he goeth. Calls need to be made far and near to get everything before the people, so that the curse of God shall not come upon them for withholding. When I read Malachi 3, I greatly fear we have not done all our duty to impress upon the people the work essential to be done to meet the approval of God. I have never seen greater interest to hear than was manifested at Brisbane. Sundays, afternoons, and evenings, the tent was full, and there was a wall of 2 and 3 and 4 circles around the tent. W.C. White could not get to the meeting until the second week because of the many things that needed to be done in Kurrenbong in reference to the school and business matters. I spoke 9 times to the larger numbers and 6 times in the morning. My soul was deeply burdened, and I felt the spirit of intercession upon me. Oh, how my spirit was pressed as a cart beneath sheaves, as I felt so deeply moved to see Brother Wilson sick, coughing, and Brother Chapman coughing, and Brother Pallant so much in need of healing. Where, I inquire, is our faith? Not only did I work, but my soul was burdened to write at 1 o'clock at night and at 2 o'clock. Night after night, I felt urged by the Spirit of God. I wrote, and not only with pen, but with voice, appealed to the people. The Lord gave brethren Haskell, Daniels, and Pallant a sure, clear message to bear to the people, and they sat as if transfixed in their seats. They contributed liberally to pay the expenses incurred in publishing notices and for other items, and when the meeting closed after 9 o'clock at night, they seemed unwilling to leave the tent. We must now work by personal labor to see the results. The Lord has manifested His power in our midst, and we expect to see souls converted. I did not once think of going to Rockhampton, but the Lord signified to me I had a message to bear to the church in Rockhampton. The day we left Brisbane, I was too sick to eat breakfast. Our food was not such as we should have eaten without change. I was taken, sick, on Monday, October 31st. I could not eat. Malaria was upon me, and I was retching and vomiting, and the bloody flux came on. Sarah and W.C. White thought we might have to return to Brisbane. I was in a burning fever. The cars took us to Bundaberg and went no farther. Oh, I feared much I should be shut up without having abundance of air, but I felt my heart go out in gratitude to God. We had our rooms opening on a broad veranda with French doors. I slept some, but was so sick. The question was, shall we go on? I said, go on. We took the cars next morning, rode 7 hours, then stopped at Gladstone until evening for the boat. We took the steamer. There were no berths, but we lay down on the seats, and next morning were in Rockhampton. I was unable to eat. Brethren came to meet us with the news that they had distributed notices that I would speak in the Hall of Arts Wednesday at 8 o'clock in the evening. I tell you, the outlook was not very flattering to me. There was no place in town where I could be comfortable. W.C. White and Brother Chapman were to find lodging somewhere in the city. Sarah and I rode out 4 miles. I crawled away to the room assigned me, relieved that there was plenty of air, and I prayed. I could only trust in God, for I was weak as a child. I could not walk without staggering. I did ride the 4 miles to Brother Zeilig's, ate a little, drank a cup of hot water, and rode the 4 miles into Rockhampton and spoke to the people in the evening. All my clothing was wet with perspiration. I secured a room adjoining the hall and took a sponge bath, put on dry clothing, and rode back 4 miles. No more speaking until Sabbath afternoon in a smaller hall. The Lord gave me a decided message for the people in regard to how, in all our actions, in our words, in practical godliness, we are to represent Jesus Christ in character. That the world may know that God hath sent His Son into the world. I could not stand upon my feet. I seated myself after a short time and talked with the people most earnestly in reference to their example in the training of their children, in the keeping of their premises clean, and in every respect to seek to have the home life a sample of the family of heaven. I cannot write all the particulars, but the Spirit of God was in the meeting, and there were testimonies from nearly all, well wet down with tears. This was the message I had to bear. More particulars hereafter. Sunday afternoon, I spoke to quite a number who seemed interested. I felt most deeply. Rode back again to my place called home and spent the day resting. In the evening, met the church and again talked about 1 hour. The boat left at 10 o'clock, but I could not rest. Next day was at Gladstone. Waited in a small but retired room. Unfinished.